Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So it's being reported some 700,000. We've broken the 700,000 barrier right now of people who have died from COVID. We're seeing hospitals across the country overrun, ICUs across the country overrun. And what I guess we've forgotten that frontline hero stuff, the healthcare heroes, the essentials. We've forgotten all of that because the desperate conditions, the poverty wages, all that stuff seems to be back front and center. And as I said earlier, the reality is you've got enough people who are saying, you know what, we have had enough. We're taking to the streets, and that's why this morning at 6 a.m. you had healthcare workers. Remember, our frontline heroes at Mercy Hospital in Buffalo, New York, who walked off the job. I think they were trying to negotiate a contract for 18 months, and this is kind of where it's gotten to. And it's sad that the management's allowed this to happen. But here to share some thoughts on this, I've asked Josh Zupinger to come talk with us. He is an immediate treatment assistant there at the Mercy Hospital in the cardiac ICU department. Josh, thanks for taking time for us.
Yeah, you're welcome. Anytime.
So am I getting this right? Some 2,500 of you this morning said we're taking to the picket line?
You're absolutely correct.
And, you know, what brought you to this moment? I know 18 months of trying to negotiate. I know that's way too long, but why this? Why now?
That now was the hospital kind of left us with no other option. I mean, we have worked 18 months with next to no staff and next to no equipment to do the job that we need. We've had to use scarce resources and try to take tiny things and make it into a whole pile just to give the care that these patients deserve.
Now, you're somebody who works in the ICU, so you're seeing some of the worst stuff. And to have shortages and to have over understaffing and being overworked in that environment, I can't imagine that's any good for you or for the patient, for that matter.
No, it is definitely not. I switched positions from, I was on a med surg floor for 5 years, and at the end of April, I came down to the ICU. And I've seen a lot just being down there in the few months that I've been down there.
So, and I can imagine, look, this pandemic has been horrible on healthcare workers all across this country. Because look, we're talking with nurses and healthcare workers in Massachusetts and Illinois, all across this country, who are in the kind of the same situation that you're in. Overworked, understaffed, underpaid, all of those things, and finally going, you know what, we've hit the end of the road. We're burnt out, we're stressed out, and we're struggling, and we've had enough. Or am I going too far for you guys?
I don't think you're going too far at all. I think at some point you do have to say that enough is enough. Personally, I don't think there's a shortage of nurses. I think there's just a shortage of employers who want to treat nurses with the respect that we deserve, so that way we can give the care that these patients deserve.
Yeah, one of the things that we learned in economics class, you know, 100 years ago for me, but we learned the supply and demand thing. If you're not getting enough of something, you've got to entice them somehow. And you do that through better wages, hours, conditions. Conditions being a huge part of this. Because I don't know exactly what's going on in Buffalo, but I can tell you in other hospitals, it's the working conditions more than everything else that nurses and staff are talking about. Their ability to help take care of their patients, their ability to have the materials and the personal protective gear that they need. It's that stuff more than the wages and the benefits. Am I getting this right on your side?
Yeah, I completely agree. It makes it very, very difficult to give the care that you want to give when you don't have the equipment to do it.
Now, I was doing a little background check on your CEO, Mr. Sullivan, I believe his name is. Mr. Sullivan, he gets somewhere around $1 million a year in compensation. You've got some executives somewhere around the $7 million a year range. It's curious to me that we've got these folks who run these hospitals who have these big seven-figure salaries, but we can't seem to pay the person who's doing the actual work something that they can live on. It just seems it seems not just unfair. It seems ludicrous to me.
I agree. 100%. And in my eyes, having happy employees leads to financial success.
So now that you guys are on strike, and I imagine that the community is supporting you. I saw some petitions that were being circulated. I saw some really good videos of the community supporting you. I guess we should start there. What kind of support are you getting from the community?
Oh, it's been amazing. It's been amazing. I wasn't there this morning, unfortunately. I wish I could have been. But I've seen on our Facebook groups and from people that I know were there, the elementary schools are dropping off snacks and water. And I know my barber has said that he wants signs in his barber shop because he wants to support us. And yeah, it's just been amazing.
It's like any strike. Nobody wants this. Nobody wants to be on strike. People want to be at their job. They want to be doing the work that they're doing. Do you believe you were forced into this? Do you believe this is something that the hospital wanted?
Honestly, I don't think either side wanted it to happen, but I do feel as though we had no other option in order to give our patients a safe environment for them so that they can have care that they deserve. They came to the hospital to get better. Yes. They're not going to get better, and you're going to have more negative patient outcomes with little staff.
So let me ask you this. Now that you guys are on strike, they clearly brought in a bunch of travel nurses and people, basically scabs. They brought a bunch of scabs in to come and take your jobs. And I know they pay them just, well, incredible amounts. It seems to me, and it always seems to me, that this could have been avoided by just, the hospital realizing that they're going to spend probably, millions and millions of dollars on these travel scab nurses, that they could have just said, look, we're gonna work together and we're gonna move this hospital in a better direction. I just find it wasteful. I find it ridiculous, but I find it a common practice, because the reason I asked you if you felt forced into it, because other nurses are going, look, they want to break our union down. They want to push us to get the most that they can get out of us. So that's the reason I asked if you felt pushed into this, because, well, it's what the union busting playbook across this country has been.
Right. And I agree. I know that they don't like the union. It's obvious they don't like the union. You can see it. You can see one hospital's non-union. Their one hospital's sisters is non-union. And they did not offer them what they offered us.
Did they offer them more or less?
I believe they offered them more. As far as I know, under my knowledge, that they did not offer them the benefits they were offering us, which we are getting considerably less. Being with the wage increase that they were giving us, offering to us, I should say, and with all the things they wanted to take away from us, we would have ended up in a negative.
You're listening to the Rick Smith Show. We're here with Josh Zuppinger. He is a immediate treatment assistant in the cardiovascular ICU at Mercy Hospital in Buffalo, New York. They're on strike today. Some 2,500 nurses and healthcare workers, 6 a.m. this morning, walked off the job and went on strike after what is 18 months of bargaining. It just seems to me, Josh, that in 18 months, management would have gotten their ducks in order and would have been able to avoid this. So in your estimate, what is the sticking point here? Is it the conditions? Is it wages? Where do you see the sticking point?
For me, from what I have seen, the sticking point is definitely staffing. It's safe staffing, so that way these patients can be cared for the way that they expect to be cared for when they're sick.
Yeah, I mean, I got to tell you, I years ago we had a relative who was in ICU, had lung cancer, had surgery, and I remember I had to go and sit for 2 weeks with him every day because the hospital was just that short staffed. In an ICU, you had one nurse for three patients, which what I'm told is unheard of.
It's very, very unsafe.
And I had to sit there. I had to sit there with him so that if something happened, I could go find somebody immediately. And it was that kind of thing where you go, this is unsafe. And the nurses didn't want it. They were stressed. They were overworked. But sadly, they, unlike you, didn't have a voice. They didn't have a union to speak up for them. So I'm glad that you guys are saying, look, it's the it's the it's It's staffing. It's taking care of our people. Because as I understand, you guys did a survey of your of all of your members. And what you came out with is, well, what was it? 70% of them have said that that there are staffing shortages.
Yes.
That seems really high for a hospital that's supposed to be taking care of people during a pandemic.
It was terrible. It's been really hard. I've watched in the ICU alone in the few months that I've been down there, nurses be tripled with patients that they shouldn't have been. They should have been one-to-one nursing care, but we didn't have a choice. When I worked on that a different unit, it was a 48-bed unit. I was an aide on that floor, and sometimes there'd be only two aides for 48 patients, and you'd have 24 patients that you have to do vital signs and bed baths and make sure they don't fall and answer call lights, and it's not easy.
No, that is not easy. That's insane. Because there's no way you keep up with that. I'm sorry. No matter, you look like somebody who could run really fast. I don't see you running that. I don't see you being, unless you figured out how to split molecules and be in more places than one at a time. I don't know how you keep up with that.
As much as I would love to split myself in half to keep those patients safe, it is very, very difficult.
So what's the response to the community who's going to say, Josh, well, you know, you should have gone a different route, you know, going out on the picket line. Now you're not in the hospital at all. And you're not taking care of the patients. Then what's the response to that?
My response is that if we didn't do this now, it's just going to get worse later.
Yeah, I mean, it's been 18 months. I mean, how much further down the road do you get? And I say, look, a strike, nobody wants a strike. It's the last arrow in the quiver. But at some point, you need to jumpstart the discussions. So are there any plans from this point forward for more discussions, for getting back with management to get people back, the qualified people who do the job back into the hospital?
Absolutely. That's the one thing we want. We want to be the ones in there giving our community and our patients the care that we know that we can give them, that we only us can give them.
Now, it seems to me, in looking at some of the numbers about this hospital, it seems like on the monetary front that they're doing okay, that this is not a poor hospital. They're not crying poverty, or they're crying poverty, but they're really not. Am I getting that?
Correct.
So this seems to me to be one of those moments where it's really about the will. It's really about their power over your power. And this is kind of one of those moments that are going to have to work itself out.
I agree. When
you were
justice will prevail. The right thing will happen. I think the right thing that will happen is safe staffing ratios. I hope so.
And at least I hope so. At some point, we're all going to have to go to the hospital. Everybody eventually ends up there once in their lifetime. And what we want is the best possible care from people who are well-trained, well-rested, well-educated, and passionate about their work. I never want somebody jabbing me with a needle, Josh, who hasn't slept in 24 hours, who hopped up on coffee or five-hour energy drinks. I want no part of that. And who's worried about the beeper beeping in 15 different directions. This is not a healthcare system. This is a crisis waiting to happen. And this is something that has to be stopped. And it's good on you guys for being the ones to speak up and say, we've got to change these things.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And my theory is, in order to enact change, it takes action.
So last line of questioning I've got for you, because your coworkers, obviously strikes are about keeping people united on the same page, moving in the same direction. You got everybody out today?
Yep, they're out there full force today.
And the concept of one day longer, because you know I've been talking to the nurses up in Massachusetts who have been on strike since March, and they're as committed as they were back in March. Because you know, once you start down this path, you got to see it through, right?
You always. Anything you do in life, you have to see it through to the end.
So I know it's early in this, but are you guys setting up ways to help have people help fund a strike fund, a benefit fund, to make sure that you guys are going to be able to make this down the road?
That question I don't actually know the answer to. I'm not part of the financial involvement with it.
Right. No, the hope is that there's some movement in that way, because ultimately this comes down to people being able to put food on the table and a roof over their head. So, you know, when I talk about strikes, sure, I talk about it from the perspective of you, Josh, and the working people who are out on that picket line, because they're not getting a paycheck. They've still got rent to pay. They've still got food to put on the table. They still got to get clothes on the kids' back and all of that, sugar and shoes and all of that, without paychecks coming in. So in order to help take care of our patients, to help fight for a better healthcare system, we got to make sure that your kids can eat.
Correct. And I know the union does have, they have a strike fund that they do pay us. After 14 days of being on strike, they will start to pay us in order to keep their members afloat in life.
It's something we absolutely
can continue need. To fight the good fight.
Something we most certainly need. And hopefully this is very short. Like all of these strikes, I say, you know, you make your point. You hope they get the message. You get back to the table. You hammer something out. You get a good agreement that you can go, that you can hold your head up because you won something, and then you continue to hold on to that and you fight for it. Because as I said earlier, I think more workers need to go on strike to fight for better benefits, better wages, better conditions, better opportunities, and then hold on to them. So I wish you guys nothing but the best. And as this continues, I'd love to have you guys come back and keep us up to date on what's going on and keep us up on what you're doing.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And I like I said, anytime, I am more than willing, any day.
Good stuff, Josh. I appreciate the time. Josh Zupinger, like I said, he works in the ICU there at Buffalo Mercy Hospital. And look, honestly, I think it takes such great courage, especially in this moment, to step forward and say, you know what? I'm going to put myself in peril to help the people who need it the most. Because, you know, like I said, we've talked to healthcare workers across this country, and the things that they see, the stories that they tell, the conditions under which they have to work, I don't think anyone should have to. And fortunately, these people in Buffalo have got a voice, and they are using it. And I hope folks will check out their website, and we'll get links out on social media on how we can do that, and we can get more information out on this. It's safestaffingbuffalo.org, the website, and we'll get that out here over social media. Love to hear your thoughts. You can email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com. Quick break, right back. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.